already in Christ, but God wants us to live that. He wants us to live the justified, holy life. So notice chapter 7 of verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So we are to serve in newness of spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would teach us through your precious word tonight, that, Lord, we would learn things that would help us be more faithful and honor you with our lives, that you would guide us. And we love you and pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So you can see Paul here is using marriage and divorce to teach us a lesson, again, that we are dead. Remember the old man, we saw that in chapter 6, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And because we are dead, we are released, if you will, from the penalty of the law. We're released from the control of the law. And we are now married to another, which is Jesus Christ. Why the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. Why he's referred to as the bridegroom. Because we are married to another. But because we are dead, as we see there in verse 4, we are dead to the law. This is important. The law is no longer over us. Amen? This is important because a lot of people think that we are still under it. Go to Colossians 2:14. I want us to be reminded tonight that the law, and when we hear that word law, it's not just talking about the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. It's talking about the entire law that Moses gave. Now, that's not in Genesis, but it is in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. The law, as we see here in Colossians 2, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. It doesn't say nailing them, as in the Ten Commandments, nailing it, the law, to the cross. We are released from the law because we've been crucified with Christ. And the law itself, as we see here, was nailed to the cross. And so, yes, Paul is reminding the Jews that the law is not over them anymore. Even though they are Jews, if they're born again Christians, they're married to another. And so he's using this analogy, if you will, from human marriage to teach us that we are free from the law because we have died. And now we have a new life and we're married to another, verse 4, and that marriage is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, and we'll see this. But we are referred to as the bride of Christ because that's what God calls us. Remember, we've talked about this, but Israel is God the Father's wife. The church is the bride of Christ. So there's many analogies there as well. But notice 2 Corinthians 11:2, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So notice, I've espoused you to one husband. That's Jesus. We have been espoused to Jesus. And then if we look in Revelation 19, we'll see the culmination of this relationship, if you will. And so we are his bride, but we are only espoused at this point. The marriage supper doesn't take place until we get into heaven. Notice Revelation 19, verse 7. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him," that's to Jesus, "for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." So it culminates at the marriage supper of the Lamb, which takes place in heaven after the rapture. This marriage supper, we're not told much about it. But we know that it's real. And yeah, I know there's some Baptists that think that only they'll be there and we're just there to serve them. But they're very confused. This is a beautiful thing. And it is, that when we read in Ephesians 5 about marriage again, God bounces back and forth between human marriage and the fact that we are the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're married to another. Our former marriage, if you will, to the law, to death, to sin, broken because we're dead. Now we're a new person, a new life in Jesus Christ. Now, like we saw last week, verse 4 of our passage, therefore, God wants fruit. Amen? And we saw that in chapter 6, verse 22. We'll look at it again. God just doesn't want any fruit. He says, being now made free from sin, there it is again, and become service to God, ye have your fruit unto what? Holiness. God doesn't want just any fruit. He wants holy fruit. He wants us to live a holy life because he is holy. When verse 5, when you were in the flesh, Romans chapter 7, verse 5, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in your members to bring forth fruit unto death. Useless fruit. And of course, when we're in the flesh, look at Romans 8:8, we cannot please God. So what God wants is fruit unto holiness, not fruit unto death. Romans 8:8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So who's he talking about here? He's talking about Christians. Is it possible for a Christian to live in the flesh? Sadly, yes. So again, this is Paul reminding us. He wants us to live what we already are. We're already dead to the law. We're already married to another, the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants fruit. But he wants fruit unto holiness, not fruit unto death. So verse 6 of our passage, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held. So again, we have been made free from the law. Look at Romans 6:18. Being then made free from sin. Wow. Look at verse 6:22. But now being made free from sin. It's already true that we're free from sin. But now God wants us to live what's true. We see this in 1 John as well. Many times John bounces back and forth between the doctrinal and the practical, or the daily struggle that we have. We're already free from sin. Our sins are forgiven. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying is, if we're already free from it, then why live in it? Why let it control us? The contrast is in verse 6, which is our title tonight, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. That letter referring again to the law. So God wants us to serve in newness of spirit. Look back chapter 6, verse 4, which we looked at a few weeks ago. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. By the way, that's not water baptism. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So here he says, walk in newness of life in Romans 6, 4. In Romans 7, 6, we should what? Serve in newness of spirit. Everything is new. Amen? 2 Corinthians, I know most of you know, 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's all new. So God wants us to walk in newness of life. He wants us to serve in newness of spirit. It's all new. We are now a new creature. We have a new indweller, if you will, the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, He wants from us fruit unto holiness as we serve in newness of spirit. So He wants us to live what has already been true. Look at Colossians 3:1, and we'll see it again. We've talked about this when we looked back in chapter 6, but when Jesus died, we died with Him. When Jesus was buried, we were buried with Him. When Jesus rose again from the dead, we rose again with Him. And we now live the resurrected new life. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, so there it is, we are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now when we get to chapter 7, Paul's going to talk about the daily grind, the practical, his own struggle with sin. Here he's talking about you're already free from sin. It's forgiven. It's under the blood. You're free from the law. It's been nailed to the cross. So live what is already true. Does that mean we won't struggle? Sadly, no. We will struggle. But it all comes down to, like we talked last or 2 weeks ago, to yielding to the one who indwells us. Amen? And to daily reckon it to be so. Let's look at it again. Chapter 6, verse 11. Reckon. That word reckon means, what does it mean to you, the word reckon? It means to declare in your mind that it's true. Amen? So daily we need to reckon what? Ye also yourselves to be dead to sin. So every day we need to remind ourselves, our own wicked mind, I'm dead to sin. We need to reckon it to be so. But we're what? Alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Knowing those two things are true and reckoning them to be true, verse 12, then let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. But yield yourselves, as we see in verse 13, unto God. So we are a new creature in Jesus Christ. He wants us to walk in newness of life. He wants us to serve in newness of spirit. Because God the Creator, God the Holy Ghost, moved in the day we got saved. And He wants us to lean on Him, be led by Him, be ruled by Him. Amen? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Let Him rule our lives. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14, they are the sons of God. Is it tough to do this? Yep. As we'll see in chapter 7. When we get later in the chapter next week, as we'll see, Paul's going to talk about his own personal struggle. He wasn't perfect. He struggled with sin just like we do. But what he's saying is, you're already righteous. You're already holy. You're already justified. You're already forgiven and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're already filled with the Holy Spirit as far as Him indwelling you. Now live what is already true. Don't let the devil trick you into living what is behind you, what you're dead to. We're dead to sin. We're dead to the law. And the old man has been crucified. So we're to serve in newness of spirit so that we might bring fruit unto, as we saw 2 weeks ago, holiness. And this is a daily struggle. But with God's help, we can do it. Amen? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's a big part of it. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. What does that mean? We're already dead. What does he mean when he says I die daily? I believe what he's saying there is I have to die to self every day. That every day the old self says, okay, it's another day. Don't get up and go to work. Stay in bed. Does your flesh ever say that? Don't get on your knees and pray. It's too hard. Don't memorize scripture today. Don't read the Bible. And definitely don't live for God. Live for self. The old man says that every day, doesn't he? That's why every day we have to die. And reckon ourselves to be dead and say, I'm not going to listen to him. He's dead. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit of God who lives in me. And I'm going to serve in newness of spirit. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us from your precious word. And I pray that this simple truth of dying daily would help us to serve you, Lord, and to be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us so that we might bring fruit into holiness, walk in newness of life, serve in newness of spirit. Help this to be true and real for each of us. We love you and pray this in Christ's name.